Book 7, Canto 3. The Entry into the Inner Countries. Section 1. At first, out of the busy hum of mind, as if from a loud thronged market into a cave, by an inward moment's magic she had come. A stark, hushed emptiness became herself. Her mind, unvisited by the voice of thought, stared at a void deep's dumb infinity. Her heights receded, her depths behind her closed. All fled away from her and left her blank. But when she came back to herself of thought, once more she was a human thing on earth, a lump of matter, a house of closed sight, a mind compelled to think out ignorance, a life force pressed into a camp of works, and the material world her limiting field. Amazed, like one unknowing, she sought her way out of the tangle of man's ignorant past that took the surface person for the soul. Then a voice spoke that dwelt on secret heights. For man thou seekest, not for thyself alone. Only if God assumes the human mind and puts on mortal ignorance for his cloak, and makes himself the dwarf with triple stride, can he help man to grow into the God. As man disguised the cosmic greatness works, and finds the mystic inaccessible gate, and opens the immortal's golden door. Man, human, follows in God's human steps, accepting his darkness. Thou must bring to him light. Accepting his sorrow, thou must bring to him bliss. In matter's body, find thy heaven-born soul. Then Savitri surged out of her body's wall and stood a little span outside herself and looked into her subtle being's depths, and in its heart, as in a lotus bud, divined her secret and mysterious soul. At the dim portal of the inner life that bars out from our depths the body's mind and all that lives but by the body's breath. She knocked and pressed against the ebony gate. The living portal groaned with sullen hinge. Heavily reluctant, it complained inert against the tyranny of the spirit's touch. A formidable voice cried from within. Back, creature of earth, lest tortured and torn thou die. A dreadful murmur rose like a dim sea. The serpent of the threshold hissing rose. A fatal guardian, hooded with monstrous coils, the hounds of darkness growled with jaws agape, and trolls and gnomes and goblins scowled and stared, and wild beast roarings thrilled the blood with fear, and menace muttered in a dangerous tongue. Unshaken, her will pressed on the rigid bars, the gate swung wide with a protesting jar. The opponent powers withdrew their dreadful guard. Her being entered into the inner worlds. In a narrow passage, the subconscious gate, she breathed with difficulty and pain and strove to find the inner self concealed in sense. Into a dense of subtle matter packed, a cavity filled with a blind mass of power, an opposition of misleading gleams, a heavy barrier of unseeing sight, she forced her way through body to the soul. Across a perilous border line she passed, where life dips into the subconscient dusk, or struggles from matter into chaos of mind, a swarm with elemental entities and fluttering shapes of vague half-bodied thought and crude beginnings of incontinent force. At first, a difficult narrowness was there, a press of uncertain powers and drifting wills. For all was there, but nothing in its place. At times, an opening came, a door was forced. She crossed through spaces of a secret self and trod in passages of inner time. At last, she broke into a form of things, a start of finiteness, a world of sense. But all was still confused, nothing self-found. Soul was not there, but only cries of life. A throng and clamorous air environed her. A horde of sounds defied significance. A dissonant clash of cries and contrary calls. A mob of visions broke across the sight. A jostled sequence lacking sense and sweet. Feelings pushed through a packed and burdened heart. Each forced its separate, inconsequent way, but cared for nothing but its ego's drive. A rally without key of common will. Thought stared at thought and pulled at the taut brain as if to pluck the reason from its seat and cast its corpse into life's wayside drain. So might forgotten lie in nature's mud, abandoned the slain sentinel of the soul. So could life's power shake from it mind's rule. Nature renounce the spirit's government, and the bare elemental energies make of the sense a glory of boundless joy, a splendor of ecstatic anarchy, a revel mighty and mad of utter bliss. This was the sense's instinct void of soul, or when the soul sleeps, hidden void of power. But now the vital Godhead wakes within and lifts the life with the supernal's touch. But how shall come the glory and the flame if mind is cast away into the abyss? For body without mind has not the light, the rapture of spirit's sense, the joy of life. All then becomes subconscient, tenebrous. Inconscience puts its seal on nature's page, or else a mad disorder whirls the brain, posting along a ravaged nature's roads, a chaos of disordered impulses in which no light can come, no joy, no peace. This state now threatened, this she pushed from her, as if in a long, endless tossing street, one driven mid a trampling, hurrying crowd. Hour after hour, she trod without release, holding by her will the senseless mute at bay. Out of the dreadful press, she dragged her will and fixed her thought upon the Saviour name. Then all grew still and empty. She was free. a large deliverance came. A vast, calm space. A while she moved through a blank tranquility of naked light from an invisible sun, a void that was a bodiless happiness, a blissful vacuum of nameless peace. But now a mightier danger's front drew near. The press of bodily mind, the inconscient brood of aimless thought and will had fallen from her. Approaching loomed a giant head of life, ungoverned by mind or soul, subconscient, vast. It tossed all power into a single drive. It made its power a might of dangerous seas. Into the stillness of her silent self, into the whiteness of its muse of space, a spate, a torrent of the speed of life, broke like a windlash-driven mob of waves, racing on a pale floor of summer sand. It drowned its banks, a mountain of climbing waves. Enormous was its vast and passionate voice. It cried to her listening spirit as it ran, demanding God's submission to chainless force. A deaf force calling to a status dumb, a thousand voices in a muted vast, it claimed the heart's support for its clutch at joy, for its need to act the witness soul's consent, for its lust of power, her neutral being's seal. Into the wideness of her watching self, it brought a grandiose gust of the breath of life. Its torrent carried the world's hopes and fears, all life's, all nature's dissatisfied, hungry cry, and the longing all eternity cannot fill. It called to the mountain secrecies of the soul, and the miracle of the never-dying fire. It spoke to some first inexpressible ecstasy, hidden in the creative beat of life. Out of the nether unseen deeps, it tore its lure and magic of disordered bliss. Into earthlight poured its maze of tangled charm and heady draught of nature's primitive joy, and the fire and mystery of forbidden delight, drunk from the world libido's bottomless well, and the honey-sweet poison wine of lust and death, but dreamed a vintage of glory of life's gods, and filled as celestial rapture's golden sting. The cycles of the infinity of desire and the mystique that made an unrealized world wider than the known and closer than the unknown, in which hunt forever the hounds of mind and life, tempted a deep dissatisfied urge within to long for the unfulfilled and ever far, and make this life upon a limiting earth a climb towards summits vanishing in the void, a search for the glory of the impossible. It dreamed that which never has been known. It grasped at that which never has been won. It chased into an Elysian memory the charms that flee from the heart's soon lost delight. It dared the force that slays, the joys that hurt, the imaged shape of unaccomplished things, and the summons to the Circean transmuting dance and passion's tenancy of the coats of love and the wild beasts ramp and romp with beauty and life. It brought its cry and surge of opposite powers, its moments of the touch of luminous planes, its flame ascensions and sky-pitched vast attempts, its fiery towers of dream built on the winds, its sinkings towards the darkness and the abyss, its honey of tenderness, its sharp wine of hate, its changes of sun and cloud, of laughter and tears, its bottomless danger pits and swallowing gulfs, its fear and joy and ecstasy and despair, its occult wizardries, its simple lines, and great communions and uplifting moves, its faith in heaven, its intercourse with hell. These powers were not blunt with the dead weight of earth. They gave ambrosia's taste and poison's sting. There was an ardor in the gaze of life that saw heaven blue in the gray air of night. The impulses Godward soared on passion's wings. Minds quick-paced thoughts floated from their high necks, a glowing splendor as of an irised mane, a parier of pure intuition's light, its flame-foot gallop they could imitate. Minds' voices mimicked inspiration's stress, its ictus of infallibility, its speed and lightning heavenly of the gods. A trenchant blade that shore the nets of doubt, its sword of discernment seemed almost divine. Yet all that knowledge was a borrowed sun's. The forms that came were not heaven's native births. An inner voice could speak the unreal's word, its puissance, dangerous and absolute, could mingle poison with the wine of God. On these high-shining backs, falsehood could ride. Truth lay with delight in error's passionate arms, gliding downstream in a blithe gilded barge. She edged her ray with a magnificent lie. Here, in life's nether realms, all contraries meet. Truth stares and does her works with bandaged eyes, and ignorance is wisdom's patron here. Those galloping hooves in their enthusiast speed could bear to a dangerous intermediate zone, wearing a robe of deathless life. Or they enter the valley of the wandering gleam, whence captives or victims of the specious ray, souls trapped in that region never can escape. Agents, not masters, they serve life's desires, toiling forever in the snare of time. Their bodies born out of some nihil's womb, ensnare the spirit in the moment's dreams, then perish, vomiting the immortal soul out of matter's belly into the sink of naught. Yet some uncaught, unslain can warily pass, carrying truth's image in the sheltered heart, pluck knowledge out of error's screening grip, break paths through the blind walls of little self, then travel on to reach a greater life. All this streamed past her and seemed to her vision's sight, as if around a high and voiceless isle a clamor of waters from far unknown hills swallowed its narrow banks in crowding waves and made a hungry world of white wild foam. Hastening, a dragon with a million feet, its foam and cry a drunken giant's din, tossing a mane of darkness into God's sky, it ebbed receding into a distant roll, then smiled again, a large and tranquil air. Blue heaven, green earth, partners of beauty's reign, lived as of old, companions in happiness, and in the world's heart laughed the joy of life. All now was still, the soil shone dry and pure. Through it all she moved not, plunged not in the vain waves. Out of the vastness of the silent self, life's clamor fled. Her spirit was mute and free.